Good morning. Today is Thursday, March the 4th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
I've got a buddy who's, I don't know if I say this every year or periodically, but his blood type is B positive. He's born on this day.
Yes.
B positive, March 4th.
B positive.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah.
I'm glad he lives in Illinois.
Yeah. Does his lifestyle translate to that?
Is he a yeah, guy? He's a pretty upbeat, positive, blah, blah, blah.
Don't you hate those people?
Oh, I just don't know how anybody lives with him, but Julie's able to, so what the heck.
Yeah.
But he's also been to the Indianapolis 500 every year for the last 25 years. He lives close to Indianapolis.
Oh, nice.
So that's,
yeah,
that's one thing. Sometime, either the Daytona 500 or the Indianapolis 500. One of the big Talladega. One of the big guys.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah. Do it not in a COVID year. Probably pandemic. Probably not.
Why the lines at the concession stand are so much shorter then?
I think being there in the big crowd would be probably the, you know, that would be.
Yeah, could be
one of the highlights.
Could be part of it. It's like, yeah. I want to go to a, and I have no interest in Wolverine football, but go to the University of Michigan and be one of 110,000 people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Get there early, stay there late.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, whether you want to or not.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Strange little things on my lists.
Hey, got to have them.
Yeah, speaking of strange, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. This is kind of a low ball, easy one for you, so.
Well,
You look like still... you can handle it. Ever wonder why people say God bless you when you sneeze? Oh, come on.
Well.
Really?
It's a nice thing to say, right?
Okay.
What is the real
dating
reason
back
why
to biblical
that?
Times, the sneeze was believed to be a sign of imminent personal danger to the sneezer. This was probably because the sneeze in those days was a symptom commonly associated with the plague. Therefore, when someone sneezed, it was believed that he or she was in need of immediate help from God.
Oh.
Thus began the custom of saying,
God bless you.
When you sneeze.
Wow. Okay. Well, I did not know that. So now...
Now you're prepared.
Ever wonder why? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask more questions next time. You know?
Yeah, good. Well, yeah. Uh-oh. That doesn't sound bode well for me. Well, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah.
Ah! Oh, gee. So how's life out there? You've been having a couple of interesting arrests.
Yes.
In the drug side of things.
Yeah, you know, it's never a dull moment, you know, and being in this job, you know, over the last 4 years, you know,
you're not coming up on re-election, are you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So oh. Next year. Next
that
year.
That explains that big bumper sticker across your chest.
Yeah. Yeah, so 2022 is the election, yes. So where the midterms and that kind of stuff. So we're a part of that. But yeah, 4 years I was put into office when Mike Downey retired and in 2017. So I've known for the last 4 years that every month there's something new. Every day there's something new.
And some of the bad guy stuff is really kind of weird. I mean, chasing that guy on I-80 in the Midwest.
Right.
And did the shooting at Lolita. I mean.
Yes.
Well, you just kind of get in a car and go afterwards and think they were going to outrun everybody?
You know.
I mean, wouldn't you think you'd try to hide
criminal
instead
behavior,
of drive?
Right, yeah. Criminal behavior, you know, sometimes it's predictable, sometimes not predictable. And so, you know what? That whole case about Lolita, the triple homicide, what a tragedy. The Moon family and the Bear River Rancheria, you know, really had a huge hit this month. And, you know, we are thankful that the investigation, you know, led us to a suspect fairly quickly and we were able to identify him. And then our friends in Utah snatched him up, and that was great. And so we're working through the extradition part of things now. Mauricio Johnson is our suspect, and he is still in Utah. And you know, he is not he's not waiving, you know, his rights, you know, that kind of stuff. So he's fighting the extradition, so to speak. So it just causes a little bit more work for our district attorney's office. He is going to come back. He's going to come back.
It doesn't change anything.
It doesn't change anything. It just delays it. So we have to go through the state, get a governor's warrant, and then go to their court and petition, and then to make sure that, number one, Mauricio Johnson that's held in Utah is the same Mauricio Johnson that we want. You know, there's an identification aspect of it, as well as,
Don't they have, like, fingerprints?
We do, but, you know, it's all a part of the system. It's the same thing if processing. We catch someone here, yeah. Right. Okay. So they can contest all this stuff, and so that's what's going to happen. Our district attorney's office is going to get an order, you know, working through the state, get a governor's warrant, you know, essentially to get him back to Humboldt County. Once we get that governor's warrant and it goes through the court system, then the sheriff's office, transportation, through our county jail, will be going back there, getting him and bringing him back.
Somebody has to drive out through the desert to get him?
Or fly, yeah. So either one. So.
Okay. Yeah. So you can fly him back? I know there's, you know, prison buses. Are there prison planes?
So, no, they're not. So we fly commercial. And so, yeah. No. So there's times that you don't even know that there's
people. Go through the screening machine there. It takes on a different level of concern.
It does. So there are commercial flights where you don't know that there is, you know, someone that's being brought back, you know, into Humboldt County or out of Humboldt County to another
really?
Location. Yes.
The chains don't give it away?
Sometimes they're not in handcuffs.
Really? Even
sometimes they are.
A murderer type?
Sure. Well, we were expecting a murder that they would be in handcuffs and, yeah, they would be taken care of. So, yeah, we don't want any situations like that. But you know, there's also, you know, ways that, you know, we partner with other agencies to you know, help us transport, you know, get them to, you know, Sacramento, and then we go to Sacramento and pick them up. So there's a lot of different ways that we work with our transportation crew to make sure that we get, you know, the suspects that are wanted here in Humboldt County back to Humboldt County.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a very complex thing, but we...
If somebody's a little, well, not to say this guy is or isn't, but a little mentally off balance, does that change your options on how to get them back?
Absolutely. So we want to, number one, make sure that the community's safe, that we don't lose him, right, and that also that he is taken care of and properly secured so we can have his day in court here in Humboldt County.
Yeah, the prison bus just seems so much easier.
It is. But for one person? That's
the
thing.
It's safe, yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, you get a bad call on some. See, I'm sure there's others in the, you know. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Okay. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back with Billy Hansel. Are you seeing any changes in what's going on? It's been, what, a year-ish?
It's been a year.
Plus or minus, depending on what your jurisdiction is. But
no. So, you know, February is when we had our first case, and it was the big unknown,
right? But, I mean, the reaction, the shutdowns and the business impacts and employment impacts. What are you seeing out there? Is everybody just as torqued out and twisted and no wiggle room and all that kind of stuff? Or is everybody laying back and going, you know, hey, it's been kind of an okay year?
No. So everyone is done. Everyone is finished, I believe, with the pandemic. We all have the COVID fatigue, right? And it's frustrating. We all want this to be over, right? And it's not over yet. We're urging our state government to try and find the balance, because right now they're not balanced. This whole last week thing, you know, about our numbers going up that could push us in the purple tier next week fried me and a lot of people in our government. And saying,
now, was that the state that did that?
The state did that. The state notified us and said, your numbers came up 15% from the previous week, so that could trigger you to go into purple tier if your numbers, you know, get increased by this much. And we're saying, you know, number one, we're not L.A. You know, where if you have a 15% increase, you know, when you have 10
thousands
million
and thousands
people,
of people,
that's
yeah.
a lot of people.
Yeah.
When we're talking a 50% increase for us, it's a difference between one positive a day, right? If we're in between a, you know, a six and an eight or whatnot, and it's like, and we increase to an eight, are you kidding me? Now we're going to be shut down into purple? People don't get it. And if I can't understand it, how are, is a normal layperson, the business person that just opened their restaurant back up, just opened their gym back up, you know, just had things start getting normal again about allowing more people into their store, and now, you know, the state's saying back into purple, shut down. It's absolutely ridiculous. We cannot do that. And so we're going to be pushing back with the state. We've been on calls.
I was wondering if there's an appeal process.
Yes, there is an appeal process. And so, and the good news is that the county, if the state, you know, does go this direction, the county will push back. And public health is already on board with that. Unless the numbers are sky high, right? Suddenly we have 100 people, we have a skilled nursing facility, our hospitalizations are going through the roof, right? And we see this trajectory that we are going to run out of hospital space, ICU capacity, and those kind of things. I get it. Yeah, let's shut down. We need to, you know, do what we need to do to save our people. But we don't see that. In the height of our surge, okay, in January, you know, our hospitalizations stayed fairly stable. Our ICU rate stayed fairly stable. We were able to absorb that.
Just a bump
that.
In positives?
It was a bump in positives. And
but
we
not
see,
hospitals.
Well, we see a little. It was a little more than usual, but our hospitals were able to handle that. And our deaths have stayed fairly stable. And so that's the frustrating part about it. And I think that within our county government, you know, we want to be reasonable with all of these restrictions. We want to be reasonable. People, we've asked people to shut their businesses down. We've asked people to stop going to church and to stop going to music venues, to stop going to school and all these other things. Okay. It has impacted our lives just, you know,
across the board.
Across the board. And so now it's time to learn to live with COVID. Because that's the reality. We are going to have to live with COVID until it naturally goes away. The vaccine is going to temporarily help us with that, you know, but we don't know how long the vaccine is good for. So we're going to have to work through that. But the more people that get vaccinated and the more we kind of get used to this is you know, the reality of what we have to do to live with that. So this, I think, serves two purposes. One is the people that are definitely afraid of COVID need to understand that it's not going away and we have to do what we can to mitigate it. If you have an underlying illness, if you're, you know, have a loved one in a skilled nursing facility, you know, we obviously want to protect those people, protect the elderly population, get them the vaccine and prevent them from getting COVID because we see the 70 and olders are the ones that are dying from COVID here locally.
There's a concern, certainly, but from some folks. Has there been any relative referencing 5 years ago, okay, with whatever the flu was or the crud
yeah.
was, here's what was. 10 years ago, boom, here's the average number.
Yeah.
Because you keep hearing that, okay, with everybody doing whatever they're doing, there's less colds.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
So less colds, less people dying from colds.
Right.
Versus this, and we're reporting every single death.
Right.
Is there a relative reference? I mean, are we losing more people due to viral infections today than we were before, or is it just being reported?
Well, you know what? It's hard to say, but we are losing more people to COVID than we do with a natural flu, okay? We are doing that. I think what they say that we will get back to normal when the COVID cases equal the normal influenza cases in a year and the influenza deaths.
So on a rolling 12 months, I don't know if you have this information.
Yeah.
How close are we? Is it 20% more? Is it 50% more? Is it 10 times more?
I don't know that number. I don't know that number right now.
Because I think that might help to bring some of the emotion out. I mean, some of these folks, it looks like they're, you know, if they're across the parking lot and they see somebody without gloves on, they get concerned.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, It just seems like there are those that are far more concerned than others.
Right. Yes, exactly. And there are. And there, and some people, you know, do. They have the underlying illnesses and those kind of things. They do have to protect themselves, absolutely. But the others, we got to learn to live with it, right? So that's what I think the benefit of following the science is all about.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff for 4 years, Billy Hansel.
Yeah,
is this like the month?
Is this the month? Next month, I believe.
Okay.
April.
Three and change.
Yeah.
Billy Hansel. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. We heard an update there from CBS about some stuff going on over in Europe, and we've had various reports here of different things. Are you satisfied with the coverage of the events and of the coding and what it means and how many and all that kind of stuff that you've been seeing?
I'm not following you. What,
at the state level, at the local level, at the national level.
About how the numbers and that kind of thing?
And what it means or what it might mean.
Right. Well, the good news is the state we have the lowest positivity rate in the state, you know, since the really pandemic started. So our numbers
California
are going down. California. California is experiencing, I think, it's a 9 out of 100,000. I think it's is what they're saying right now. So it's and don't quote me on that. I just heard that on the radio last night.
No, you just quoted yourself. That's okay.
But Gavin Newsom came on yesterday and basically touted that the positivity rate has gone down significantly, and they're looking at trying to modify things. So, and public health did get some information yesterday that CDPH is looking at modifying some of the metrics right now that are used to put different counties into tiers, because one thing that they haven't factored in yet, which is what they should have, is how many percentage of vaccine has gone out to the counties, right? If we've done our job here, and as the vaccine comes in, we're able to get that vaccine to everyone that's available to take it every week, and we have nothing on hand, they should say we're doing our part to vaccinate people here, and we should have the ability to have those numbers raise a little bit, because we see that it's made a less impact on the county, and the most vulnerable population have been vaccinated, been offered a vaccine. So, and then also, when you want to follow the science and the data, where you're looking at the greatest increase in our positivity rate is between the 20 and 40-year-olds, okay, which,
the immortals.
As you follow the science, we have a very, very, very low death rate and hospitalization rate between those 20 and 40-year-olds. And those are the ones that are part of our workforce. Those are the ones that are going to be taking a little more risks, going out and gathering and traveling and doing those things that we know, you know, is going to possibly get them exposed to COVID. And so it's one of those things that you know, again, we're happy that we see the positivity rate lower. We need to kind of, again, learn to live with COVID because, again, it's going to be here for a while.
It's not a hysteria because they're not running up and down the streets, but there does seem to be a misinterpretation of some of the information or spin. Yeah, if it was O'Reilly, he'd be calling it spinning, some of the numbers. Head scratching? Or do you think that there's something else at work? Why some of the numbers are being reported, some of the speculation that's associated with the local numbers?
Well, I think our local numbers speak to how good actually Humboldt County is doing. You know, we have a fairly low death rate when it comes to COVID. We have a fairly low hospitalization and positivity rate.
But yet we're deep purple.
That's why, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And that's why I fear that as our state government doesn't loosen up some of those restrictions and allow people to, again, we can still socially distance, we can still mask, you know, we can do all those things that are necessary, but we can still go about our day. The biggest frustration thing, I think, what's got people that have school-age children is the school sports aspect of things. They've just allowed youth sports to start. And one of the first things that the state says is no spectators. No spectators at
but
school
parents,
sports.
Right?
Yes. So the deal is it's about messaging. The state says that households can go and basically monitor their children, you know, at these sporting events, which is legitimate, okay? If you have two households because your parents are split up, you know, those households should be able to go to the game because they're the units. And when you're talking about soccer and football and outdoor sports,
yeah.
Shoot, man. I mean, we have plenty of room here in Humboldt County to social distance. And, you know, if it's just kept to the households, we're able to keep people socially distanced at these outdoor venues. And they're able to watch and, quote, supervise their children as they play youth sports.
Kind
you
of
know?
Sounds like they're encouraging Little League parents.
Oh,
yes. We need you on the field to supervise you. No, you don't. No.
Right.
I mean, come on.
No, exactly.
So is it semantics? Is
it
a lack
semantics.
Of consistency?
Yes. Well, it's just the way that the state has kind of, you know, kind
CYA?
Of defined this, right? It's like, hey, we don't want spectators, but we understand a parent's right to supervise their child. And so they're going to be allowing that because, you know, they don't have spectator events, you know, at some of this stuff. But we get the inconsistencies here, okay? Because you can go to church, but you can't go and watch a sporting event. You can ride on a plane from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. with 300 people shoulder to shoulder, all masked, but yet you can't go into a gymnasium to watch an hour game, you know, under the same circumstances. So all the inconsistencies have got people, you know, going sideways on this.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Well, you guys made the news this week, but not in a real positive way. Well,
right.
Maybe it was a positive way. And you found the screw, with the jailer bringing in dope.
Yeah.
Or
yes, yep, contraband.
Dope is just kind of a broad stroke, not
for
marijuana
sure.
specifically.
Yeah.
Was it a tough thing to find? Obviously,
yeah.
It was a disturbing thing
yes.
to have to go
yes.
through mentally and psychologically
right.
for the
right.
staff.
Right.
But was it a complicated process?
It was because, you know what, there's number one, this whole thing was very disturbing, upsetting, you know, to have someone that has the public trust, that wears the same uniform and the badge, that is hired to do a service for this community, to turn around and betray us and the inmates as well as his coworkers. I mean, he jeopardized inmate safety as well as officer safety in this whole thing. And so I'm very happy that we caught him, very happy, and that we're going to hold him accountable through the district attorney and the criminal prosecution process. So
do you think it happens often?
I really don't. And so that's why I think we developed some witnesses, you know, in this case, and I think we were able to develop witnesses because this was a rare thing and that people were shocked and that people were talking about it, that it did occur. So
even with the bad guy population you have,
yes,
you still were able to
Yes.
Through that.
To get evidence to support, you know, search warrants as well as to, you know, basically catch him, you know, with product in hand, you know, getting ready to do a delivery. So it's, you know, it's, well, number one, when people say, hey, they can't police their own, yes, we can. I have a department and I have
well, obviously
overall,
you just did.
Yes. Overall, it's like we cannot tolerate anyone that violates the law as well as one of our own. We're going to hold ourselves to even the highest standards. And so to hold those people accountable and to hold Mr. Aguirre accountable is going to, you know, be our mandate. And that's what happened. And we were able to get him. He resigned and he's going to have to face the music, you know. And this is an investigation that involved our Humboldt County Task Force as well as involving the, you know, DEA. And so, I mean,
so it was a little bit more serious.
A complex case. And just to make sure that we knew, because, you know, people throw out allegations, you know, sometimes about dirty cops or this is happening and that kind of thing. And so, you know, we do take those seriously. We do investigate them. And sometimes it's just, you know, bitterness, ill will, you know, that kind of stuff. This, it turns out that, you know, there definitely was things that were going on, and we caught this guy, and so.
Do you lose evidence often?
Do we lose evidence?
Yeah.
We don't. I mean, not.
I mean, that's one of the things that people will talk about, too. Oh, the evidence locker.
Right.
Got nailed, and somebody's out there selling the antique whatevers or the drugs or that kind of stuff.
So that's not what happened in this circumstance. You know, these drugs were, you know, purchased on the street and then brought into the facility. So that's what. And we do, you know, as far as drugs and management of our property, we do audits every month of our property division. And so, you know, those are held, you know, to the highest standards. And obviously, yeah, that's one of the things that we pay attention to all the time.
Well, thanks for paying attention.
Absolutely, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And remember, God bless, right?
Oh, God bless you. Yeah. Sure. God bless you. That's you.
See everybody tomorrow.